And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Thousands of young volunteers are teaming up with a group called Feeding Children Everywhere. Some 20,000 teens from across the USA converged in San Antonio for the National Youth Gathering of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That caught the attention of Feeding Children Everywhere, who came there to partner with them for this special project. Their goal is to package enough meals in 3 days to feed 300,000 hungry children. We're here for 5 days of celebrating the faith which we've been called into, that we share together as Lutheran Christians, said Director Reverend Mark Heathling. Participants, which are made up of youth between 14 to 19 years old, are spreading faith and giving back, helping local citizens clean up their yard, fixing things in their home, painting homes, said Heathling. They can dance, they can sing, and all along they're providing a healthy meal for somebody else, said Doug Campbell, President and CEO of Feeding Children Everywhere. You wouldn't think in the United States that there's this much hunger, but it's here. This is a healthy alternative to hunger. About 250,000 of the meals will be going to food banks in San Antonio and South Texas. The rest is being shipped to victims of Hurricane Sandy on the East Coast. In Puerto Rico, the remains of at least 40 people are missing from a cemetery in the sleepy mountain town of Garabo, where officials are trying to solve a mystery that has frightened neighbors and left families distraught. The apparent thefts occurred at the town's oldest cemetery, which was built in 1912 and features rows of white mausoleums located on the outskirts of Garabo. I've spent 9 years with the authority, Public Works Director Jose Roman said. I have never had something like this happen to me. No one has been able to explain the disappearances, although many residents believe the bones are being stolen for Santeria rituals practiced by those who follow the Caribbean-based religion that blends Roman Catholicism and the African Yoruba faith. Roman acknowledged that possibility, as well as a hypothesis that thieves are snatching boxes made of steel that hold the bones to sell them on the black market. However, he said, no bones have been left behind. Government officials made the discovery last month when they tried to exhume several remains to move them to another cemetery, only to find that they were gone. Since then, Roman has asked the owners of the cemetery's more than 300 mausoleums to verify if their loved ones are still buried there. Amparo Diaz Santana, a 70-year-old homemaker, said, "The bodies of her two nephews are missing. When we opened the tomb, they weren't there," she said. "We kept looking and noticed there was a bunch of other open tombs." A family filed a report with police, but no one has been arrested and it seems authorities have no leads. Roman said there are 3 full-time employees at the cemetery during the day, but that no one oversees it at night. Finding security guards has been a problem, he said. Roman said police agreed to drive by the cemetery at night as a preventative measure. Police investigating the case could not be immediately reached for comment. Arlene Gonzalez, a Santera or Santeria priest with the Templo Yoruba of Puerto Rico, denied people associated with the faith were to blame. She said the faith employs animals, but not human bodies, in its rituals. She said the disappearance of the remains could be related to Palearia, another syncretic faith that uses human bones in its rites. Relatives have been devastated by the loss of their loved ones' remains. Rosa Feliciano, a 78-year-old homemaker, said she learned in late June that the remains of her son were missing. He died 17 years ago. "This has caused me the greatest pain ever, even greater than the day I lost him," she said. Pope Francis's bid to take the scandal-dogged Vatican Bank in hand has stepped up a gear, experts said this week, with the ousting of top management from the institution following the launch of the special papal probe. Officially, Paolo Cipriani and Massimo Tulli, director and deputy director of the bank, handed in their resignations on Monday in the best interests of the Institute and the Holy See. The bank's president, Ernst von Freiberg, put their decision down to a need for new leadership to increase the pace of bringing the institution in line with international standards against money laundering. Religious and judicial specialists on Tuesday said the Vatican had forcibly shed 2 long-serving chiefs who survived the unceremonious eviction in May 2012 of the former head, Ettore Gocci Tedeschi, purportedly for poor management, but amid reports of money laundering. Their expulsion was deemed opportune by the Vatican because Cipriani and Tulli are of interest in an inquiry launched by Rome prosecutors in 2010 into money laundering. The investigation is set to wind up in the next few days and will likely see them charged, she said, for knowingly permitting illicit activities to be carried out. The police probe began with a spectacular seizure of €23 million from the Institute for Religious Works, the IOR, as the bank is known, after suspicious cash transfers set alarm bells ringing. The money was released once the IOR agreed to cooperate in the investigation, but Rome prosecutors continued to investigate Cipriani Tullian Tedeschi. With the right connections, anyone for years now has been able to open an account with the Vatican Bank and clean enormous sums of money. At the last conclave to elect the Pope, the Cardinal electors called for a turnaround, Vatican expert Paolo Radari wrote in La Repubblica daily. Cipriani and Tulli are also reported to have close ties to cleric Nunzio Scarano, who worked for years as a senior Vatican accountant and was arrested on Friday on suspicion of plotting to smuggle €20 million of dirty money into Italy from Switzerland. The reaction was immediate. The Curia, the Holy See's administrative apparatus, understood that it was no longer feasible to treat the financial problems like the paedophilia ones, upping the number of people transferred and deflecting accusations, Carlo Moroni from Il Sole 24 Ore Daily said. The arrest and clear out of two of the bank's bigwigs were the first result of cure imposed by Pope Francis, he said. What has been hailed as a potential revolution by many religious watchers began with the appointment mid-June of cleric Battista Mario Salvatore Ricca to oversee the IOR's management, effectively placing one of Francis's trusted allies in a key position to report to him. Last week, the 76-year-old pontiff followed this by installing a special 5-member commission tasked with investigating the bank and reporting their findings directly back to him personally. The Commission's first report is expected in October and may spark wider reforms of the Murky Institute. The IOR, which does not lend money, handles funds for Vatican departments, Catholic charities and congregations, as well as priests and nuns living and working around the world. The inquiry into Scarano was the straw that broke the camel's back, said La Stampa Daily. Experts are now watching to see if more heads will roll at the bank, which has a troubled history, including the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano, in which the Holy See was the main shareholder, and which has been accused of laundering money for the Sicilian Mafia. Former US President Jimmy Carter says religious leaders, including those in Christianity and Islam, share the blame for mistreatment of women around the world. The human rights activist said last week that religious authorities perpetuate misguided doctrines of male superiority, from the Catholic Church forbidding women from becoming priests, to some African cultures mutilating the genitals of young girls. Carter said the doctrines, which he described as theologically indefensible, contribute to a political, social, and economic structure where political leaders passively accept violence against women, a worldwide sex slave trade, and inequality in the workplace and classroom. There is a great aversion among men leaders and some women leaders to admit that this is something that exists, that it's serious and that it's troubling and should be addressed courageously, Carter said at an international conference on women and religion. The 39th president was hosting representatives from 15 countries at the Carter Center, the human rights organization he launched in 1982 after leaving the White House. The Mobilizing Faith for Women event emphasizes to world leaders that religious institutions can be forces for equality, he said. Nations represented at the Carter Conference include Afghanistan, Botswana, Egypt, Iraq, Malaysia, Nigeria, Senegal, and Sudan. Carter mentioned widespread oppression in many of the nations where iterations of Islam dominate, but he also had criticism for the developed Western world where Christianity is the strongest cultural influence. A common thread, he said, are gross abuses of religious texts in the Quran and in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Singular verses can be extracted and extorted to assert the singular dominance of men. The former president noted that the early Christian church included leaders of both sexes. It wasn't until a few centuries after Jesus Christ's time on earth, he said, that leaders of what would become the Roman Catholic Church established the exclusively male priesthood. Catholic doctrine justifies a practice by noting that Jesus, according to gospel text, named only men among his apostles. Carter noted that women in Saudi Arabia can't drive or vote. Girls in some cultures are forced to marry before they are 10 years old, and women in the United States, he said, are paid about 70% of what men earn for the same work. Across the world, he said, prosecutions for rape are either rare or too often become a referendum on the victim. The point is that these voices demanding these circumstances change are few and far between, Carter said. Carter and his wife Rosalind were once members of the Southern Baptist Church, a couple recently disassociated from the church, citing its prohibition of ordaining women or allowing them to serve as deacons or other leadership posts in local congregations. Their independent Baptist church has a woman pastor and a man pastor and divides 6 deaconships equally among men and women, Carter said. My wife is probably the most famous Baptist deacon in the world. A drinker has been banned from Britain's smallest pub because he takes up too much room. Adam Thirkettle, who is a 21 stone and 6 foot 7 tree surgeon, enjoyed a pint in his tiny local, the 15 foot by 7 foot Nutshell in Bury St Edmunds in Suffolk, which is listed as the smallest pub in Britain by Guinness World Records. Landlord Jack Burton, who has banned him at peak times, said, "Adam's a real gentle giant, but on a busy night he takes up such a lot of space that I have to turn away 4 normal-sized drinkers." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.